Okay, so we'll pick up here. The first page on the source sheet is from the Beis Yosef. So the truth is, what's interesting here is not what the Beis Yosef says, but what it doesn't say. So let's just see. The Torah says, and the Torah is what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that Sukkos HaChag B'Chag, V'Abayis Shebesfina, V'Achken V'Yos Shebeshukin are Peturim. Right? Of Sukkah on Yantif, or a bayis, a house on the on a boat, or the Chenvios in the Shukim, which are a little unclear what that is. Sounds like the storefronts in the Shuk. So all of those are considered to be Pater. So the problem is, if you look, one problem is, if you look at the Beis Yosef, so the Beis Yosef says, right, Sukkos Chag B'Chag, that that's in the beginning of Maseches Yuma. Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan v'Hilchasak v'Rabbanan de Petir. Right, that's a Machlokas, and we paskin that's Pater. So the time Mishum Durachmana Amar Beischa, because the Torah says, Beisecha, Shehi Diras Keva, Lafuki Sukkah Shehi Diras Arai, which is a Diras Keva, as opposed to a Sukkah, which is only a Diras Arai, which is only a temporary structure. Okay, so far so good. All right, so the Torah lists three things. The Beis Yosef quotes a Gemara for one of them, and leaves out the other two. Right? So where did the Torah get those other two things from? So that is found in the Rambam. So I put that on page 2 of the source sheet. So page 2 of the source sheet there in, this is Hilchos Tfilin Mezuzah Sefer Torah, Perek Vav Halacha Tes. So if you look at Halacha Tes, so first he starts talking about the Beis HaKiseh and the Beis HaMerchatz, etc. Those are the first three lines. All those are Pater, but they're not made for Diras Kavod. And then Sukkos HaChag B'Chag, then he quotes that, Ubayis Shebesfina are Petur Min HaMezuzah. So he adds in there a Bayis Shebesfina, a house that's on a boat. They're Pater Lefish Einan Asuyin L'Diras Keva, plus they are not permanent structures. And you can make a case, even if you're out there for a very long time, a boat by definition is not a permanent structure. However, then he says, Shtei Sukkos Shel Yotzrin Zulifne Mizu, if you have two Sukkos of a worker, of a creator. So, for instance, it sounds like you have a pottery person is a potterer, right? So he's a potter. Okay, so he's in the back room, in the back sukkah, and then there's a front sukkah. So he says here that Shei sukkah shel yotzun zulif nimizu hachitzona petura min hamezuzah. The outside one is exempt from a sukkah, from a mezuzah, because it's not kavua. It's not permanent. Implying that what? Implying that the inside one is chayiv, because that one's up the entire year. So it sounds like you have a sukkah that is up the entire year, what we call a sukkah, but instead of it just being up for yantif, it's up the entire year. So Rambam says that if you are koveya in it, you are chayiv. And based off of that, the Rambam then says, that if you have a storefront in the shuk, some kind of, or at the fair, something like that, so that's pater because it's not kavua ledira. Okay, so he seems to be going back and forth here, right? The sukkah is saying you're chayiv because that is right, the outside one is pater, but the inside one is chayiv, but yet a chenvios and the shuk are going to be pater. So A, where is he getting this from? And B, what then is the difference between a chenvios shebeshuk and this inner sukkah? And then the further question is, if the inner sukkah is chayiv in a sukkah, it is chayiv in a mezuzah, then why is the outside sukkah not chayiv in a mezuzah? Why? What would I call the outside sukkah? We would call that a beis shar. Right, and as we learned last week, or actually not last week, but the week before, so a beis shar, if anything that a room, even if it's not chayiv in sukkah, that leads to a room that is chayiv in sukkah, so it should be chayiv in sukkah. So what's going on there? Why is that one not chayiv in sukkah? So if you take a quick look at the Ravid seems to dispute the Rambam's assumption here, where he says, Amar Avram, right, the Ravid's right there on the inside, Hasagas HaRavid, he says, Sha'af HaPnimis Ein Lo Keva. He says, even the inside one is not Keva. That explains why the outside one doesn't require one, and he seems to be saying that the inside one doesn't require one either. Now, the truth is, this is really coming from this idea of the sukkah, inside sukkah and the outside sukkah is really coming from a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. So if you take a look here at the Kesef Mishnah, So the Kesef Mishnah is on the right and the left. But if you take a look at the top left, right, it goes down, and then the part that we're looking for is on the left. There's parts of it are underlined here. So he quotes from the top line, right? Achmash Rebbeinu Svesas Finas Shtei Sukkos, and he quotes the Gemara Masechah Sukkah, Amar Rabbi Levi Shtei Sukkah Shal Yotzim Zulvtim Mizu Hapnimis Ena Sukkah V'Chayves B'Mezuzah V'Chitzon A Sukkah Peturah Mina Mezuzah V'Amai. Right, the inside one is not considered a sukkah, and therefore you're chayv in mezuzah, and the outside one is pater. Why? To have a mitchitzona keves shar the pnimis u'mechayv in mezuzah. Says why is that? Consider like a base shar. This is the Gemara itself raising the question. So therefore, because it leads to a room that is chayv in mezuzah, it should be chayv that way. And the Gemara answers mishum delo kviya, because it's not a kvius. So wait a second. If it's not, what does that mean? It's not a kvius. It shouldn't be chayv at all. So Perish Rashi lo zu velo zu davar kavua ve'ein hapnimis chashuva lios la base shar. That it's the inside one. Neither one is really kavua. But the inside one sounds like it's kavua enough to require a mezuzah, but not kavua enough that we're going to call the room outside of it a base shar. So you get into some sort of, so now you start seeing this as, you know, there's sort of, instead of being yes, no, there's like a hierarchy here. There's kavua, there's a dira, there's this, and like there's sort of what's in and what's out, and sort of need to get a feel for it. So that's why he quotes the Ravid here, Ein la keva, kolomer miloshen rabbeinu nira, demishum de lo kviya lo kai el achitzon, because it's not kavua, lo kai el achitzon. That phrase in the Gemara is only going the outside one. Umasig alav, so then the Ravid is asking, dim achitzona hayaroi lechayeves mitzad atzma, el mishum de lo kviya gam hapnimis lo kviya v'tifate. That means that both of them should not be kavua. Aval kesha anu omrim shahayaroi lechayeves mishum beishar dipnimis, el lefi sheshtehem enan kvius, velo shayachai kushim. He says, no, so therefore we're not going to say that the inside one is kavua and the outside one is not. We're just going to say that they're not. Neither one is. So then, why does the inside one require one? The Gemara says that. He nemiut kviusan mahani de lo lahavi la beishar. Mikomakul lo mahani lifter hapnimis shehu darba bikvius. He says, so this idea that they're not kavua, the idea that it's not a permanent structure, and that it's like a sukkah, but yet it's up the entire year, but it could fall down at any point. It's like some kind of shack. So we're going to say that's enough. Since the guy lives in the, or is in the inside one all the time, that's where he does his work, we're going to call that kavua. And we're going to call that a requirement for a mezuzah. But the outside one, but it's not going to be considered chashuv enough that the outside one that leads to it is going to be chayiv in mezuzah. So therefore, whether you call the inside one kavua or not, I mean the Rambam versus the Ravid, the Gemara still says that you're chayiv in it in mezuzah. And the question and the assumption then is that yeah, and the out, but for somehow it's not chashuv enough. It's not important enough that it's going to require one from the base shar coming to the inside. Okay, so that is. Right, and that's the way the Rambam reads the Gemara. But you see here that there's sort of this thing that is called kavua, but is not going to require a mezuzah. Now, the question then is, well, okay, then what then is the chenvios shebeshukin? Meaning, what then are these storefronts or shacks in the shuk that are not going to be chayv in mezuzah? What's the difference between those two? So it appears that the Kesef Mishnah does not address that. Presumably, the answer is someplace along the lines of that it is let's see. So take a look on page 3 in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch in Resh Pei Vav Sif Yud Aleph. So quotes this halacha that says Sukkas Chag B'Chag V'Hei V'Avai Shebesfina V'Achenvio Shebeshukin. All of those are going to be pater. So then we have the Shach, the Taz, and then the Shach, and then the Pischi Tshuva, a very important Pischi Tshuva here. So the Taz says, Chen Yishev Shukin are Pater. Why? The Lav Diros Ninhu. Because they're not considered Diros. They're not considered to be, places where you live. V'nira Li appears to me, Afilim Yoshim Behem B'chol Yom, Chol Yom Peturim. Even if you sit there the entire day, we're going to say that you're Pater. Why? T'kim De'inam Sham B'layla. Because you're not there at night. Mikre Arai. Therefore it is called Arai. And that's just the rule. Plus, you're not there at night. It's called arai, as we see in Choshen Mishpatim Kuf Mem Sif Ches Linyan Chazaka. Right, with regards to Chazaka, if you're only there during the day, during the night, I didn't look it up, but I assume that means that therefore you're not going to be able to establish a Chazaka by just being there during the day and not being there at night. So ubeprisha, he niachze b'tzarachin. So the prisha leaves it that as a tzarachin. However, what's the tzarachin? If you're there all day and you're not there at night, so why that's not considered like a dira? I mean, we just learned last week about a situation where it's at a certain place that you're there all day and seemingly not there at night, and yet it said you were chayiv in a mezuzah in that place. What was that? What? Sorry, the prisha is on the page of the tour, but I didn't do it inside. It's just in the Taz he quotes the prisha. He says the prisha niach zebetzarachin. He leaves this question of being there during the day and not being there at night as a tzarachin. Maybe that should still be enough to require you. But the Taz says, well, fini es daisi near kamushek hasafti. I think I'm right. Velo dami lebeis hateven. He says so. It's not like a beis hateven o otzer. It's not like a storehouse. Meaning, what's he gonna say? Right? Of course you're only there during the day and you're not there at night, so therefore you're going to be putter. But wait a second, we already said you have a storehouse, you're not even there during the day and there at night. And we say that you're chayiv. So why are you going to say that this storefront is any less of an obligation than a storehouse? The Vesateven O Otzer, the Shamwai, Tashmish Hashayach Lo Ein Chiluk Bein Yom Lelaila. He says, because a storehouse, why are you putting a mezuzah on a storehouse? The mezuzah on the storehouse is because you store things in there. And the function of the storehouse is just as functional during the day as it is at night, because the primary purpose of the storehouse is to store things. As opposed to a storefront. So a storefront is you use during the day, and not at night. He says, "Va'yaval chenvos shehu beveso pasuach l'rishus harabim pshita shetzarich." Sorry, that's already the end. Chiluk bein yom ve'layla kein nirali. Period. Right, but a storefront, however, where you're there during the day and you're not there at night, so we're going to say that you're a putter because it's only a day place, not a night place. Maybe you leave things there overnight, right, and therefore it's a storehouse too. So presumably the Taz would say, yeah, but that's not the primary role. The primary role of this place is to be a storeroom, is to be a store. And if the store is only open during the day and it's not open at night, so therefore you're going to say that by definition it's going to be putter despite the fact that you store things there all the time. But he adds in, he says, but if you have a store, if you have this store and it's connected to your house that's open to Rishus Harabim, so then certainly it should require a mezuzah on its doorways because that's going to be leading from your house out to the street. Okay, so that's the sheet of the Taz. So what comes out from this Taz is that any place that is only used during the day and not used at night, even though it's a full structure, is not going to be chayiv in mezuzah because it's not a place that is roi l'dira. So a place of work, you see, he's going to say straight up, not going to be chayiv in a mezuzah. So,
except as a storehouse is.
What?
But he says a storehouse is
chayiv. Right? No, a storehouse is, but a storehouse is because a storehouse, that's function, is necessary all day. Right, all day and all night, right? But a store is only functional during the day and not at night. So therefore, you're going to be chayiv. Now the question is, one second, let me just pull that up for him. There we go. Okay, there's a source sheet, and then there's also the source sheet is the Google Drive, and then there's also this file that I posted as well.
Okay.
So,
the stores today where they don't take out, where stores keep all the merchandise all the time.
Right, so I think the Taz is still going to say that you're going to be putter that it's not going to require mezuzah under those circumstances, because its primary purpose is to be a store. And the fact that you just happen to store things there, that's a secondary purpose. But whether it requires a mezuzah there is based on what the primary purpose is. I think that's what the Taz's answer would be. So this comes up, for example, if people when people ask me when should we put their mezuzahs up, like in the house. They move into a house, but now they haven't moved in. They bought the house. The house is theirs, and they're not using it for a couple of weeks, right? They're not going to move in for a couple of weeks. So and they're still living in their old house. So you say, well, you got to put your mezuzahs as soon as you own it. Well, it means they got to buy a second set of mezuzahs. Like what is that? So that they're not going to require. So what they tell them is that you're not really chayav to put a mezuzah on the house until you start living there. What about as soon as you start? What about when you move your stuff in? Let's say you start moving things in. So at that point, it becomes a storehouse. Yeah, except it's not really a storehouse. It's really your house and happens to be used for storage right now. But the mezuzah is going to follow the primary purpose and not the secondary purpose. So because the primary purpose of it is to be your house, it's not going to be chayav and mezuzah until you move in there. I do think, however, maybe we'll get to this later on. I do think, however, that potentially as soon as you move things in there, you already could put up your mezuzahs. Meaning to put up your mezuzahs on the day that you move in, that's not always the most convenient thing to do. So as soon as things go in there, it seems like you already could start putting up your mezuzahs at that point, because it already is being used for a purpose that is required, you know, that could use a mezuzah. Okay, so the shach adds in, right, that you're putter in the case of the store. Why? He says, if they shame dir sarai, because it's only a temporary place. What about if it's not a temporary place? What if it's your office? So the shach presumably would say, you're chayef. Meaning the Taz would even say, it sounds like if you have an office someplace, right? So your office is, by definition, not a place you stay overnight, hopefully. But if you, so therefore it doesn't require mezuzah by definition. The shach says, no. If it's a permanent structure, you spend a lot of time there, it should then be chayiv. It should then be chayiv in a mezuzah at that point. So that's the smachlokas shach and taz about putting mezuzahs on offices. So presumably it seems like we pass in like the shach, right? But out of deference to the taz, we don't make a bracha. So that's the general psak that exists with regards to offices. So comes the pischei tshuva. Piskei Tshuva Yud here on the bottom. So Piskei Tshuva says, V'achen v'yos shebeshukim. He says, what about the stores in the shuk? He says, I am beher heitiv, I am b'sefer yad haktana, ala Rambam, perek beiz, mihilchas mezuzah, oschaf aleph, shetim al zeh. He wonders, he has a whole question on this. He says, dim yesh b'chen v'os eze schora hamunach sham tamid, have le mamish beis ha'otzer. He says, what are you talking about? If it's a place, if it's a store where you are constantly doing business there, so that's a beis ha'otzer. That is a storage place. Va'af im mifne haschora misham belayla. Even if you take away the stuff that you sell, you remove it from the merchandise. You take the merchandise away at night. Ve'enu mashir sham kum. You don't leave anything there. Mikom akom roy l'chayva. You should be chayv like a beis medrash. Why should you be any more putter here than the beis medrash? Beis medrash, you're there all day and not at night. So to here, you're there all day and not at night. Darminan lefi sheyoshrin bo kol hayom harei zedira. We call that a dira already. So v'ha'ala de kavanas hatur v'ashulchan aruch v'chenvios she'osin biyuma the shuka, that he suggests that what are we talking about when it comes to these chenvios that we're saying you're putter in? That's referring to the chenvios in the shuk, in the krachim gedolim, in the big cities, va'omdim sham ha-chenvios b'shuk, rak kol meshech ha-yirid. He says, those are referring to the stores, the storefronts that are used during the yirid, I assume that means the fair, right? That they have the fair, and you go, and the people set up their booths, and their booths have ceilings, their booths have doors, etc., but it, by definition, it's something that is temporary. Va'achar kach, mevarkim osam, and afterwards they take it down. Oh, omdim panoi b'li shum tashmish, or they leave them empty without anything there. Dezem mamish kemo sukkah sachag v'chag. That's what's comparable to a sukkah. So the Piskei Tshuva is going even further. He's saying, no, well, it's talking about these things that fold down, these things in the middle of Machane Yehuda that are mamish emptied out. But if you have a store that is a permanent store, or even a booth that is a permanent booth, and it's open the entire year, right? Machane Yehuda is not just open during the fair season, it's open the entire year. So it says the Piskei Tshuva, if that's the case, you would be chayiv, right? You would be chayiv. That's the psak of the Piskei Tshuva, and that's pretty much, I assume, how we generally paskin here, that these types of places that are open the entire year, a store, office, things like that, are going to be chayiv, unless it's something that gets put up and taken down regularly. Now the second half of the Piskei Tshuva goes, and I'm not sure why he's even here, but we're going to get into that. But
the office is owned by a Jew. I work in an office. It's owned by non-Jews.
Okay, so what if you don't own it? So we generally assume that the mezuzah is chovas adar, is the obligation of the person that's living there. I mean, if you rent a house from a person, from a non-Jew, so we put mezuzahs up on that. Now, so it should have. The reason not to, potentially, would be if it's shared with non-Jews. That's one major exemption. Or B, if it's going to cause some type of consternation, some kinds of issues there in general, so that also would be a patur. But ideally, an office, if somebody has a private office, they should ideally put a mezuzah there. I've certainly sold mezuzahs for people to use on their private offices.
It's different than a rental, because in a rental you have an agreement, and you have at least a lease. Most of the time with these offices, they give you an office, and if they decide that they're going to move you to another building, then they just move you. You don't really have any shackles to the office other than what they grant you.
We didn't get into the rentals versus owner rentals in the old days versus rentals in the new days. I mean, the Gemara says that rentals in Chutz La'aretz, so you're not chayv in a mezuzah until 30 days in. So many poskim assume that does not apply bizman hazeh. That's referring to a time in the Gemara when, even though you might have rented a place, the owner still reserved the right to kick you out whenever he wanted. So the example in the Gemara is that if the owner rents you a place and then the owner's own house gets destroyed, so he has the right to kick you out. So therefore, we say that once you're there for 30 days, you've established enough kvias that you're there permanently. Even though the owner still reserves the right to kick you out. I mean, the nothing has changed in terms of the agreement, but because you've been there long enough, so that's when you require a mezuzah. As opposed to today, if you sign a year-long lease and a month in the owner needs the house, so he has no right to kick you out. That's what it means to have a year-long lease. So presumably that would be one could argue that the offices, you know, what you're describing as the offices, where they have the right to send you around to different places. So it sounds like it would be the same din as the old time leases in the Gemara. I mean, you're there, and they have the right to send you out whenever they want. But if you're there for 30 days, it sounds like you would be chayiv. One should have a mezuzah there under ideal circumstances. What?
You're also not there overnight, so you have two things.
So then you're back to our sugi here about the machlokas taz versus the shach and the piskei tshuva. The taz would say, right, you're not chayv in a mezuzah then, but the other poskim do, and we generally pass like the shach against the taz, usually straight up. But a deference to the taz, we don't make a bracha. But the general assumption is if you have somebody who has their own private office should ideally be putting a mezuzah up on the door.
When you say a private office, I mean, like, if you're working someplace, it's not your building, it's not, and we're saying we have to put a mezuzah on that office that assigned you? Is that what we're saying?
I think if they've assigned you an office, I'm not sure if you're a temp worker, you're there for 2 months. So then maybe, I'm not sure. Right, but if you're a worker, you're a lawyer, and you were given an office, and here's your office, and you know you're there until you make partner, or until they move you to another office a few years later, or until COVID hits. So if it's your own private office, so ideally you should have a mezuzah on the door. Now, if you can't, you know, I'm not sure, it's not necessarily an absolute chiyuv, and probably if they tell you you can't have one, so then you probably don't have the right to put one up. I mean, you can sue them if you're a lawyer, especially. But right. It probably is not. It probably if they tell you can't do it, so then probably you can't do it. I don't know if a non-Jew rents you a house and says, but you're not allowed to put the mezuzahs up. You put mezuzahs up, or you rent some fancy schmancy apartment in downtown, and they say, but one of the rules are you can't put mezuzahs up. I don't know. I'm not sure what the.
Well, there's been a few lawsuits on that. But then you're really renting, right? I wouldn't think that's the way people commonly think of it. I don't know that in law firms you walk around and you'll see mezuzahs there. It's,
I don't know. I mean, I've had. I remember there was a fellow here in in Bala, Kinwood, who was given, became a doctor. He was given his own office in the hospital. And first he brought me the mezuzah from the previous person who had the office to check. And when it was puzzle, he bought another one from me. So. So I think it I haven't spent that much time in offices, but I don't think it is that uncommon to have mezuzahs, yeah. And I wouldn't think it's that uncommon for people to have. I've sold enough to people in offices. Now the Aruch HaShulchan is even more machmir. The Aruch HaShulchan, I think I have that on page 4. Let me be able to follow along here. All right, so the Aruch HaShulchan, yeah, is page 4. So the Aruch HaShulchan here seems like he's even more machmir than the Piskei Tshuva. He says that in Chavav, he says, "Well, fi ani es daisi." He says, "Divrei Rabbeinu Habeis Yosef haMefarshim shekasfu din ruch din dechanvios lahalacha ma'ut tamuim." He says the fact that the Beis Yosef, meaning the Shulchan Aruch, the fact that he quotes this halacha of chanvios shebeshuk as the halacha, he says that is it's a big question on that. Why tamuim? Right? It's what, right? The din zeh hu me'arambam. He says, where did that come from? So that, right, it wasn't a Gemara. The Gemara didn't say anything about Chen V'yos Shebeshuk. The whole makor for that is the Rambam. He says, Sham Din Tes, Shekasav HaChen V'yos Shebeshuk in Peturim, right, where the Rambam says that Chen V'yos Neshuk are Pater, Miftei She'enun Kavuos L'dira Ad Kan L'shono. He says, V'kavanaso L'fi Shitaso. He says, but wait a second. The Rambam has his own Shitos with regards to many of these halachas. The Rambam actually is very make about other things as well, right? L'fi Shitaso, D'matzuk She'hei Asui L'dira Adam Uveis Ha'otzros Pater. He says, but the Rambam also held that a storehouse is pater. Meaning he says it's the same halacha. It's not royal adira, there's no chayiv in mezuzah. But in Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin that way. Aval anan de kaimalan de chayiv. We say you're chayiv in these storehouses. Are lo greya chanvus vibesa otzer. We don't say, so therefore we wouldn't say that a storehouse, a store is any less than a storehouse. Shrei schor munach sham tameh. There's business going on there all the time. There's merchandise there all the time. V'amafarshim tafsu de mishum dira sarai pater. Poter, ve'enokain, he says, and some say that maybe it was Diras Arai you're going to be Poter. V'raya zeb de Rambam mikodem kasav din sukkah v'svina, v'chasav atam she'en de'en ze Diras keva. V'zeh l'shono l'fi she'en an asuyin l'dira keva, u'v'chen v'yos kasav l'fi she'en an kavuin l'dira, klomer Diras adam el l'schora. He says, and he says, perhaps the proof is the fact that the Rambam changes the language, right? In the Rambam, when he said that, the Rambam said by the sukkah, he said, "Sukkas habakam is a shina peturmiya sukkah. Plus, it's not asuyin ladiras keva. And by chenvios, he says you're pater v'yesh einan kavuin ladira. Plus, it's not set for a dira, but it could be for diras keva. I mean, potentially it could be. To make a distinction between something that's permanent versus not permanent, so that's not what the Rambam said. The Rambam uses different language for the two of them, but he says that both of them are going to be pater, right? He says you're pater from kavuin ladira, plus you're not there at night. Maybe like the Taz says, and you're pater by a sukkah because it's not a permanent dira. But we paskin that you are chayiv on something that is enon kavuin ladira, meaning a storehouse is chayiv. We paskin is chayiv if it's not kavuin ladira. So therefore says the therefore he says that you are, therefore the Aruch HaShulchan thinks it's a davar pashat that you're going to be chayiv. He says, I don't have a question on the tour. It says in the parentheses, I don't have a question on the tour, because the tour does quote the Shita Sarambam. Right? So the tour is just going along quoting the Shita Sarambam on some of these things and pointing out that there's a machlokas. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins the other way. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a store house is a storage place is chayiv in a mezuzah. So if a storage place is chayiv in a mezuzah, so too a store should also be chayiv in a mezuzah. That is the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan.
So if you have a tool shed, you have to put a mezuzah on it?
Yeah, so back to the tool shed issue. I'm still not sure about this. There should be a chiv there if it is dalad al dalad. However, the minig is not to. So why would the minig? Can you defend the practice not to have one on the shed? So I think first of all, often even if it's a question of how to measure dalad al dalad, right? So dalet al dalet, is it the walls dalet al dalet, or is it what's inside, or is it the space inside that is dalet al dalet? And often these store places, so often they have, if you have shelves inside, so the shelves probably don't count towards the dalet al dalet. We'll get to that later. So often it's not going to be big enough. And even if it is, so the amount of stuff that is stored in there often makes it not usable. And one could also make the case, I think, that if it's made Eino Roi L'dira, that you're going, I mean, it's made as a place not to live in, so one can make a case that it's not going to be chayev, even though maybe in the old days it was the same thing, nowadays it's not. So, I mean, the reason why people put stuff out there, there's no heat, there's no air conditioning, it's not fit to live in. It's specifically not a place that one would possibly live in, as opposed to the old days, where, yeah, it's the same construction. You don't have any the same amount of the same heater that you have in your house, you have in your storage place, right? Which is no heater, right? So perhaps it would be so maybe one case is not the same thing. Similar question to actually it came up last week that somebody we were putting our hashkacha on a new place and the person he was showing me around, it's a frum guy, and he pointed to that there used to be the spot on the walk-in fridge, you could tell there was a mezuzah there. I mean, there was the sticky stuff was still there. He's like, yeah, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know who told them to put a mezuzah on the refrigerator, on the walk-in refrigerator. It's a very large walk-in refrigerator. So I said I agree with you, but it does require an answer. I mean, you have to answer the question. Meaning the starting point really is that a walk-in freezer that is more than walk-in fridge that is more than dalet al dalet should require a mezuzah because it's a room. It's a separate room. It has a separate door. You walk in and it's a room. So why should you be chayiv? So why would you not be chayiv in a mezuzah? So this came up for me the first time when Josh Small started Savati, because I went to his place and wandered around, and he asked me about the walk-in fridge, and I was like, I don't know, I've never seen it before. Although I guess now I have, but I've never seen it before. But it needs an answer. I mean, what's the answer to that? So I think I spoke with Rabbi Simon at the time. I don't recall. But I think he said that it shouldn't have because it is specifically made not to be Roi Ladira. It's specifically made in a way that you're not going to live there, meaning it's purposely made too cold to live in. So because it's made too cold to live in, that by definition perhaps excludes it from being chayiv in mezuzah.
Yeah, I think the too cold to be it might be what ponders it.
Right. So perhaps you could then extend the same thing to the shed. But it is a bit of a question why people are not. I mean, I've seen, you know, around here at the yeshiva, I noticed some of them have sheds. Nobody has mezuzahs on the shed. So I think that's my that's my at least limud zchus, if not heter, as to why people don't put on there.
But is it just because it's cold? Would that be? I don't think it's relevant particularly. It's not what the old fairway over here in New York had. All the meat and fish was in this giant room where you went in to buy. It was all this room that was very cold, so that everything was refrigerated, and they had coats outside that you could try on,
yeah,
that you could use to go in. So it's a large room. Would that have a mezuzah?
Right. So in general, we're a little more machmir with things that are connected to the house than things that aren't. So I don't know. I mean, the walk-in fridge is not in. The walk-in fridge is in also, but it's. I don't know. Probably not for using the same svara, but I could see someone putting one there. Meaning, you could check if you go to the kolel store and check their walk-in fridge. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a mezuzah there, but I would be surprised if they had one in a back storage. You know, if they had some kind of trailer in the back that had been there forever, and that had a mezuzah, that I would be a little more surprised on.
They could always put a mezuzah on and not put a bracha on it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Although it's true, from being in some of these catering and restaurant facilities, mezuzahs just go missing in these places. I mean, it's some of these stores have called me multiple times for the same for the same door. Like, you know, they're carrying stuff, there's stuff on their shoulders, all this heavy stuff going back and forth. Mezuzahs go missing. So it's not, I'm hesitant to put one in a place that people are going to forget about it, and who knows what's going to happen to it, and it'll get lost someplace. Like, that's also not appropriate. So, okay. The second half of this Piskei Tshuva raises a question which comes up a lot. We'll see what he says. He says, "V'kasev hagom mahari," and I'm not sure what it's doing here. I don't know why the Piskei Tshuva stuck it in here, but he says, "V'kasev mahari milisa besidr tefila shelo." That the mahari lisa, I think that's the Nesivos, but I'm not sure. Rav Yaakov milisa in his siddur, where he writes, "The osan ad chen v'yos shebibayis sheosan mezuza achas min hakarka ad hamashkov." That if you have a chenvius, you have these store, I guess that's why it's here, but it's talking about a store in the house where they have a mezuzah going from the ground to the top, u'mezuzah achas she'ein magia ad hamashkof. But then you have another mezuzah, you have the doorpost that doesn't go all the way up to the lintel, to the top. Rak she'konsin es hakotel le'erech ama o'yoser im ha'mezuzah, erech ama o'yoser. But there is like a counter that comes out from the side, that's at least an amma long. So if the mezuzah that goes all the way up to the lintel is on the right side when you walk in, so great. So then you're going to be, you better put a mezuzah there, but usa mezuzah. But what about when the small mezuzah is to your right? Right? So if you open up that PDF, right, the first page of the PDF is this diagram, right? You see, if you have it, so the description is a doorway, but there is like a little thing coming out, like a little counter coming out from the right, and I mean in this case from the right and from the left, right? So. No. This is as if you're walking into the door, right? That is the doorway, right? Or on the source sheet, I think I have a diagram of this on the source sheet also. There, right on the source sheet on page.
Oh, okay.
The last page. Yeah. The last page, sort of. That's not such a great picture either, but the last page, right? Picture 219, right? So, so the right side going in, the doorway is disjointed from where the rest of the doorway is. So, what does he say? So if it's more than amma away, we got a mashkuf. Who mi yamin achnisa? Osan ha mezuzah, but osan mezuzah. You put a mezuzah on that. Vayim mezuzah aktana who mi yamin hanichnas. Im hu gavoa asara tfachim. If that bottom post is 10 tfachim or higher, osan ha mezuzah bo. You put the mezuzah on it. Vim ena gavoa asara tfachim. But if it's less than 10 tfachim tall, osa b'makom harachav. Then you should put in the wide part. Kain nira li ad kan l'shono. That's at least that's my opinion. Ad kan l'shono. That is that. That's what the Nesivos says, right? So what's going on here? So he's saying that what is the minimum size for a doorpost? So minimum size for a doorpost is 10 tefachim. That's our assumption, right? Just like the minimum height for a sukkah is 10 tefachim, so to a doorpost is 10 tefachim. So therefore, he's looking at this, and if you put on your halachic glasses. So you're going to look at the bottom. You see it's a 10 tefach doorpost, and the top just keeps going up. And there are even concepts in halacha called good achis mechitza, where the mechitza, where we visualize halachically as if the doorpost is continuing to go straight up. So therefore, he says it would need to go, the mezuzah would need to go on that right doorpost, even though it's going to end up being pretty low, pretty close to the ground, right? 10 tefachim is not so high. It's like 37 inches or so, I think, according to what the numbers they're using. So 37, 40 inches, something like 35, someplace in that range, right? So that's less than 3 feet off the ground is the top of that, right? So the mezuzah is still going to be lower than that. And not only that, but the halacha is by mezuzahs that it needs to be at least a tefach below the lintel. So it's not only is it going to be 10 tefachim, it's actually going to be 9 tfachim, potentially. Right, essentially, it's going to be even lower. That's where the mezuzah would go under those circumstances.
Well, don't you want to put it at the bottom of the top third?
Right. So you then put it at the bottom, put it even lower at the bottom of the top third. So the truth is, that's what picture 219 seems to be showing, right? That's at the bottom of the top third. Now, why they say the bottom of the top third? That we're going to have to save for. We'll save that for a little bit. But that's what he. That's what he says. And on page 7. Right, page 7 is the Chovas Hadar. So if you look at page 7, number 3, right, page Samach Vav, number 3, this is Perek Ches Gimel, right, Pesach Shebetzad Yemin HaMezuzah Nichneses VaPesach Misrachiv. So if you have a doorway, and on the right side the mezuzah goes in, and the Pesach, then the doorway becomes wider. If the narrow part is 10 tfachim or higher, that's where you should place it. But if it's not higher than 10, so then you would put it in the wider spot. Okay, so that is the sheet of the Chovas Adar. That is what the mezuzah doctor recommends, because he paskins like the Chovas Adar. And right, if you have and you have your halachic glasses, that is what right. That is a very halachic approach to it. Now, the article that you downloaded or that you have from that is from Rabbi Baruch Simon, who I spoke with, right? Used to speak with regularly. So he has an article. This is from Beis Yitzchak. I don't know if you can see Beis Yitzchak Tafshinayin Hay. Okay, so he describes this issue, because this issue comes up regularly. I don't know, Sheldon, you might have this issue. A lot of Overbrook Park houses have this, because the dining room is separate from the kitchen, but there's not a wall between the dining room and the kitchen. It's just like a counter between the dining room and the kitchen.
Yeah, we have a wall.
You have a wall. Okay. But a bunch of people in Overbrook Park, right, they have like a counter. And you walk from the dining room, you walk to the back of the house, the dining room, you walk into the dining room, and then you make a left turn into the kitchen, right? And instead of having a wall separating the kitchen from the dining room, you have like a counter separating the kitchen from the living room, from the kitchen from the dining room. And that counter is going to be more than 10 tfachim high. So now if there's no ceiling separation. So if there's no lintel on top, there's no demarcation between the two rooms on top, so it's not a question. You're not going to be chayav in it. But a lot of them do. A lot of them do. In fact, they might actually put a support beam might be there. A lot of them do have a separation between those two rooms that's demarcated on top. So the question then is, okay, where do you put the mezuzah? Do you put the mezuzah on on that bottom post? Or do you put it on the wall that is several feet away from where you are, from where you're walking through? So, right, so the Chovas Adar is Pashut, right? The mezuzah doctor has got it that way as well. The Sefer Agud Ba'alecha also quotes the Chovas Adar and says that that's the din. However, Rabbi Simon here disagrees. Rabbi Simon thinks that that is not the halacha, and the truth is, I heard on a shir from Rav Rudinsky in Muncie, who I listen to regularly, Rav Tzal Rudinsky, gave a shir on this topic, and he actually quoted the mezuzah doctor. Very impressed. Yes, I sent it to Maish. I said, listen, you were quoted. The good news is you were quoted. The bad news is that he disagreed. Rudinsky paskined differently, right? So what are they saying? So first of all, Joel, when your kids lived in the Heights, they were in one of the newer apartments, right? Like one of the newer buildings? Not anymore, but a lot of apartments in the Heights have this, where they have like a somewhat large kitchen, but they have this separation between where like the kitchen is, and there's sort of like a little table there off, where the eating part of the kitchen versus where the oven is. And there's like this separation, which is what Rabbi Simon is describing in that picture, right? He says, "Bishchuno Washington Heights, Shadarim Harbi Tzeirim Mihay Yeshiva, Yishala Shchicha." Right? There's this in Washington Heights, where a lot of the guys in the yeshiva live. So there is a common situation about where to place the mezuzah, right? Where you have a larger room where you're standing facing this. You walk into behind this diagram is where the oven is. But he adds in a caveat that area is less than dalet al dalet, is less than 4x4 amos anyways. Now, we haven't gotten to that. That's, actually, I think, the next sif. That's Yeah, that's Sif Yud Gimel. But so A, there's a question whether so he said you can make a halacha case that the mezuzah should either be on area Aleph, area Beis, area Gimel, or area Dalet, meaning he can make a case that all four of those places should be where the mezuzah goes. Now, part of that has to do with because the place that you're entering is less than 4x4 amos, and then there's a machlokas whether it requires a mezuzah at all, and even if it does, whether it should be on the way in or whether it should be on the way out. So that will get up to probably, actually next week, we'll probably be getting into that. But he actually, right, but he quotes all these, he quotes the Pesachei Tshuva, right, and but he says that he thinks it should be on Beis rather than Aleph. Why? So he suggests that that the real halacha of being in the bottom of the upper third of the doorway is not a gzeiras hakasav. It's not made out of nowhere. It's that's where your shoulder is. Right, that's where you walk, and the mezuzah should be where your shoulder is, approximately. So therefore, he thinks it makes more sense for it to be Beis than Aleph. Now, there's a problem with that, and that is the halacha is as well, this we learned already, that the mezuzah has to be within a tefach of the opening, right? You can't, if you burrow into the wall, right, so you could put, or you put the mezuzah on like a wall in front, but if you burrow into the doorpost, so you can only go a tefach in. You can't go further than a tefach in. It has to be within a tefach of the doorway. So he says, if that's the case, then maybe you had a problem here because you don't have you're not within the you're more than a tefach away from the actual doorway is. So Rabbi Simon sort of shrugs his shoulders and he talks about that din and suggests that he thinks that it would still be okay if you're going through in his article. Right on page 7, he talks about Be'inyan Hamika Tefach, and he quotes from the Agur Ba'alecha actually that Tam Acher Psul Shel Emek Tefach, because it says because the one reason is because it has to be within a Tefach of the doorway, but another possible reason is to just say because that it should be Al Mezuzos as opposed to El Toch Mezuzos. So would we say that if it's on the doorpost, even if it's an area Beis on the top of the article, would we say that that's toch mezuzos? No, it's still al mezuzos. It's on just on like a different mezuzah or something. So therefore, Rabbi Simon suggests based on that, even though the Ogur Ba'alecha himself disagrees, he thinks that the mezuzah should go area Beis. I believe, I didn't listen to it today, but I believe Rav Radinsky gives somewhat of a compromise between Rabbi Simon versus the Chovas Adar, and he says it depends whether that space is used for anything. I mean, if it's just a space that is there, and like nothing really goes there, so then he says it should be on the actual doorway, that even though it's a little far away. But if it's like a table there, or it's something that actually gets used, so if that's the case, so then it should go on the like sort of under the counter as is being described in those as is being described in those pictures. So I still don't have and the stakes are pretty high in this case, right? Because you know one of them is the doorway, one of them is not, right? There seems like there should be a psak there, but anyways, that's the machlokas. I generally go like the Chovas Adar. With all due respect to Rabbi Simon on this, I recommend the Chovas Adar. I actually would follow Rabbi Dinsk the Chovas Adar. Well, I don't know if it's a space where you can actually sort of touch the wall. So then maybe we'd go like the Rabbi Simon Mahalach. But certainly if there's any significant amount of space, and certainly according to Rav Radinsky's idea that space is actually being used for something, as like a table or something like that. So then I would put the mezuzah sort of under the counter. So the latest place this comes up actually in restaurants. Restaurants, this is a big issue a lot because if there's a tzuras hapesa, if there's like a doorpost on top, so presumably there should be a mezuzah going to the back, and it would go on the counter on the lower part of the counter. So it does come up. I think in the I went to the Lipman's house. The Lipman's house, they have a setup like that, where they have a counter in the middle with a doorpost on top and sort of separates the eating area from the kitchen area. So I think he told them to put the mezuzah on the lower part of the counter. So this question comes up a lot. The how to resolve it is a little unclear, but I think the majority, let's put it this way, the majority of of mezuzah poskim paskin that it should be on the lower part of the counter. If you ask a standard, you know, regular, you know, if you go to most rabbanim, they might disagree. They might take a less technical attitude towards it. But anyways, that's this Piskei Tshuva shows up here of all places, even though we're not really in the middle of the where in the doorpost sugya right now.
This way, it's a much better conversation starter, also.
Right, like, right.
What's the mezuzah doing over there?
Right. I shrug and say, actually, in the JFCS building, which is the first building that I did, they have a mezuzah like this. We put a mezuzah there, and it's like, I think somebody there actually took a picture of the doorway and sent it to me saying, why didn't you put a mezuzah in this doorway? To which I said, look down a little bit. and kachava, that's where the mezuzah was. All right. Have a good evening.
Neshekoyach. Okay. Take care, guys. Thank you.
All right.